Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
And so as we study together this morning, we are looking at concluding our series in our Make It Practical segment, Patient or Passive. And we want to talk about sustaining the long game, right? As we conclude the study, we have to address the reality that some waits don't last weeks. They last decades. Some prayers aren't answered in a season. They are prayers of a lifetime. How do you sustain active patience, right, when the finish line keeps moving and you think maybe now I receive, and then the Lord said no, not yet, just hold on, right? It's one of those things that being patient for a month, it's easy, right? You can try and hold on for that, but it's another thing entirely to remain faithful, engaged, and hopeful when you've been in the same waiting room for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, almost like Abraham did. So today we're going to be looking at the long game, how to handle the silence, quote-unquote, right, a silence of God without losing one's momentum. Join us as we converse. We want to hear your thoughts, your comments. We invite you to share with us this morning on TikTok. We are streaming on SID Media. You can find us there. Drop a comment in the chat box on the wireless, sidmedia.org. That's where you can tune in on. You can just drop a comment on our WhatsApp line as well if you're engaging us there. Plus 27 73 470 3520. We've got our guest on the line, Sister Andile Mutsonga. Good morning, ma'am. And thank you once again for joining us this week.
Thank you so much, Brother Derek. Thank you so much for welcoming me. A very good morning indeed.
Thank you. We are looking at wrapping up our lesson. Sustaining the long game is how we want to wrap up this patient or passive take. How does one prevent, active patience, right, from turning into burnout? I mean, you try several. I mean, yesterday we gave that quote to say Isaiah 40:31, they that wait on the Lord. And they always encourage you, if you're going to wait on the Lord, then do wait what waiters do, serve, right? And you serve. But hey, 10, 20 years, surely one is going to burn out one way or the other. How do we prevent that?
Yes, absolutely. So as we get onto that, just to recap on two items that we've really laid out, even practically, mm-hmm. is that pray. I love the song that preceded this segment. It says exactly that, right? Yeah. So we've got to learn to talk to God. Yeah. You know, we've got to learn to speak and hear him. What is he saying? Are we there yet? Who? When? Where? How? So this is the one thing that must really, really, really come out of the waiting, right? And the other one, we've got to familiarize with ourselves with our waiting room,
okay.
Right? Know where we are waiting. So that's really what we have laid out practically, as we got it from two great models that mm-hmm. the Bible gives us. Mm-hmm. That's a model of prayer that we find in Matthew 6, verse 9, okay. And then the model of the tabernacle that we then find in the Old Testament in Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
So today, now, we are waiting, we are comfortable, we're getting to know God, we are speaking, we are hearing him, and we are moving. But
okay.
Now, how do you prevent okay. burnout, right? How do you prevent taking so much more that you can't handle and you can't organize and you don't know how to bite only the amount that you can chew? You know, this morning I heard, just as I was joining my daily devotion call,
mm-hmm.
Pastor Dr. Robert Muzira, he was talking about a leadership principle called a Jethro principle. And I said, this is it. You know, and he's saying that it's even turned into an education series and an academic principle,
okay.
you know, that's adopted
okay.
by institutions just to teach people how to prevent burnout in their leadership. So this, of course, originates from an account in the Bible in Exodus chapter 18.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Derek, please just allow me to read this out
okay.
because this okay. very account is the Make It Practical segment,
mm-hmm.
right? So I want to read from Exodus 18. So from verse 13 to 24, this is our Make It Practical segment to prevent burnout.
Mm-hmm.
So the word of God reads, "The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, 'What is this you are doing for the people. Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening? Moses answered him, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good.
Yeah.
You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. There's another translation that says you'll burn out.
Mm.
The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions, and show them the way they are to live out and they are to behave. Select capable men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens.
Okay.
So the account, may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. So the account does carry on, but it's very practical in how to implement, and it turned out to have been a strong legal practice that was adopted even globally.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, the point I want to make is here. If this was the counsel that Moses received that helped him to set up a legal system that became global, how much more advantaged are we? Who have Jesus? We don't have Moses. We have Jesus, who is so much better than Moses, our righteous judge. And he invites us. He says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out? This is how the Message translation gives us the rendition of Matthew 11.
Yeah.
Are you tired?
Yeah.
Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Yes.
Amen. Amen. But to learn of me the unforced rhythms of grace.
Amen. Thank you. I was actually, this is the part I was so excited about. I'm so glad you finished it, because this is the part I love. I was like, it's unforced.
Yeah.
And there's a rhythm to it. Thank you for finishing that one.
Yeah. This is Andy, and thank you for the lesson of Jethro. I love it, the Jethro principle. I wasn't aware that it's something that actually the world has adopted, and thank you for highlighting that. But I want us to turn it to our conversation of waiting. It's one thing to be burnt out because you've overwhelmed yourself with many things, right? But how do we burn out? How do we deal with the burnout of waiting on God? I mean, how do we handle the silence of God without losing the momentum in that service we said, when you wait on God, serve?
Yeah. You know, when we look at how the silence of God played out, if we just look at just to pick some scenarios, one scenario is there is a scenario during the crucifixion, actually, where in Matthew chapter 26, verse 62, reads, the chief priest stood up and said, what do you have to say to the accusation? Verse 63 says, Jesus kept silence.
Yeah.
Jesus kept silence. And this very here, the message is clear. God does not talk to accusers. He does not.
Mm.
So this comes really to affirm and demonstrate the victory that was acquired for us when Satan, the deceiver and accuser, was evicted from heaven and his place is no longer found. So when we experience the silence of God, we must check our spiritual standing. Are we standing and waiting on God and also holding an accusation?
Mm.
Who are we accusing? Am I accusing
my
mother, my past, the weather, the government, the situation, even the rain? What is my spiritual posture? Am I holding any blame, guilt, shame, accusation, fear as I'm waiting on the Lord? Because that is the one guaranteed way that I will not hear God. And the other instance where we really see how the silence of God played out is during the ministration of Zechariah. A minister stood before God in unbelief and God silenced him. And all Israel was in wait, not knowing what was happening. So the message is very clear.
Yeah.
I'm looking at these two accounts.
Yeah.
Check that I'm not in an accusation a state. I'm not accusing anyone, not even the cat, not even the ant, not even the weather, not even apartheid, not even situations where I believe that I have a right to hold on to an accusation, let it go, because yeah. that stands between yeah. me and hearing God. And don't wait in unbelief. So believe, no matter what, against even evidence that may be glaringly saying that, where's the evidence for you to mm. to not believe? Mm. Even if 10,000 are falling, I must still believe yep. that it will not come near yep. me.
Certainly, certainly. It will not come near me. You know, we're drawing close into the Sabbath hours. I want us maybe to just focus on how this continued presence of the Sabbath in our lives, how does that actually encourage and help us to keep active trust healthy?
The Sabbath is so powerful in many ways. And mm-hmm. as it pertains to our waiting, I just want to read out Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 to 3 says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Right? And I always say, may God add a blessing to the reading of the word. I always say, if someone is looking for me, sometimes my kids ask me, why am I not answering my calls? when I said, if someone is looking for me for, because they say, what if it's important? What if it's work? I said, if someone is looking for me for work on the Sabbath, they are not sent by God, because God knows where I am on the Sabbath. I'm not working. So clearly they are not sent by God. Mm. So the Sabbath is our weekly, it's almost like we are being scanned and we are being checked, and we have an opportunity to evaluate our business. To say, am I really still waiting on God, or am I now advancing my own agenda that is not looking to God? Because if God finished on the Sabbath, what have I not finished? So any and everything that is in my hands and under my watch, as soon as it gets to the Sabbath, it is finished. If my evaluation is that it's going to be finished on Sunday or on Monday, it must be checked, because clearly that agenda, something else has crept into it. It must be finished. So we get an opportunity to not have to go for long in the wrong direction. Yeah. Weekly, we get to evaluate and be evaluated ourselves of our own standing before God, to say, do I really consider where I am now as a finished works? Do I really consider myself as being in a position of rest, right? Because ultimately, what is received to God is not the works of our hands. It's us, ourselves, our characters.
Yeah.
So do I consider myself as a finished works? Do I consider myself as being at rest, because God rested on the Sabbath? I cannot enter into the Sabbath being rest. Do I really consider myself as blessed, because God finished, rested, blessed, and sanctified? Do I consider myself? So we've got to check ourselves against those 4 points, you know, finished, rest, blessed, and sanctified.
Amen.
And we are able to have these weekly installments of just being checked and in our standing.
Amen. Amen. You know, the other thing that comes out as well from this idea of waiting is when you look at Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit, right? And it's interesting the language he chooses to use there, to say the fruit of the Spirit, that the Spirit gives us fruit, and then it uses agricultural motive, right, to say it's fruit. And one thing about agriculture, in as much as we've got advancements that have been made and gene tweaking and so forth with the modifications that plants or crops used are now taking shorter time, animals are taking shorter time to mature and so forth, but still nothing happens overnight in agriculture. You've got to wait. Talk to us about the lesson we ought to learn about how God deals with our own character development, especially from the lesson of the fruit of the Spirit, and how it only grows in the soil of a wait, and how we should then take lessons from that as we are waiting as well and being patient from responses from God.
Yes, absolutely. Waiting requires self-control. Our challenge is not our challenge is not power and blessings. All of those are there. But we've just got to learn the discipline, the self-control, the timing to start and to stop. And you'll see, as you talk about Galatians chapter 5, on the scale of the fruit of the spirit, we begin with love, which is really represents the heat, the abundance. It's enough for everyone. It doesn't end. The reason why God does everything. It's for his pleasure. And it's because God so loved the world that he gave, you know. So the love is abundance. But as we go down the scale, along the scale, maybe let me not say down, along the scale of the fruit of the spirit, we find that right at the end, we've got self-control.
Yeah.
Now there is now, maybe in the scale of heat, we can say it's on the cooler side where there's restraint, exercise restraint. Like we just spoke right now that there are instances where God himself chose to be silent. Yeah. He didn't have to. He is the word. He went against who he is, right? He is the word. And there's never a point in time where really God is silent. But because he doesn't speak to an accuser, he does not speak to an accuser. Mm. He was silent. Mm. Because he does not address unbelief. He is the faithful God. He does not speak to he does not address unbelief, right? Mm. So there's a self-control. He has chosen that under these circumstances, I draw a line. Thus far and no further.
Okay.
Right? And that's the self-control that we learn to exercise, because the blessings are abundant. They do not finish. The love is fervent. Mm. It is heated. Mm. But you've got to learn it each and every time to say, hey, let me draw a line here. Walk around with a ruler. Draw a line here. Draw a line here. Draw a line here. And that line is already given to us in the form of the Sabbath.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
However great or exciting, whatever it is that you're doing, the line is on the Sabbath. Mm. It's finished. By the time the Sabbath comes, no matter what, close. It's finished.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe I want to then wrap up as we close our segment for the morning with allowing you an opportunity to just give us your final thoughts, your final remarks, your final encouragement that you want to leave with our friends that are joining us this morning.
Yes. The Bible says in Revelation 12, so this is Revelation 12, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We've got to know the word of God that we are in possession of. Mm-hmm. We've got to know the testimony of Jesus. Everything happens on account of these two. Mm. If we don't, we're going to live lives where we walk around with so much ignorance. I don't know what's happening to me. I don't know why this is happening. But if we really know the testimony that we have received, the children of Israel received the testimony even before they took the journey in the wilderness. So we receive the testimony not in response to what we've done, not in response to our faithfulness, but we receive the testimony so that on account of this testimony, then our journey begins.
Yes.
So we've really got to search and find out, God, what is my inheritance? What do I have in my hand? He already has given each and everybody an inheritance, you know, that is kept safe for us.
Mm.
Kept safe for us. No one can steal it. But we've just got to walk knowing God, to know him is eternal life. So we have to, first and foremost, ascertain, before we build the expertise and the other virtues, which are really great, let's first to know, what do I have that God has given us? What word has God spoken to me? Because everything else happens on account of this. John the Revelator does say that he was in Patmos because of exactly the same thing, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So we've got to know this.
Amen. Amen. We've got to know. We've got to know. Otherwise, the waiting will prove lethal to our faith. Thank you so much, Sandile. May God bless you and may he enlarge your territory and minister to you in your point of need. Thank you so much once again for joining us and guiding us in this week's lesson.
Amen. Thank you so much. I welcome the blessings and all the very same to you, Amen. Brother Derek, and Amen. Our beloved listeners. Thank you.
Thank you so much and God bless.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.